This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nathan Zagura coming up in 1 hour's time. It is a Browns victory Monday. The celebration rolls on to the cynical, draft position. Silence! I almost said silencio, and then went silence. Silence! In fact, the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel,
yeah,
the chat, 91% of 400 votes saying a Browns win. That's what they were rooting for going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, once it became reality, I think a lot of people ended up just being like, okay, we want to make Aaron Rodgers cry. That's more fun.
Okay, I guess we'll take the win over the Steelers.
I wasn't said like that. It was more like if you were on the fence about it, you then went to the other side of that fence.
All right.
Because beating the Steelers is always cool. That's always a good time. It still is very instant gratification, but that's fine.
Well, but isn't after the game being like, we're locked into the number two pick, isn't that also instant gratification?
No, not at all, because you haven't even paid that off yet, and you still then have 5 or 6 months before you even pay that off.
But
the opposite of that.
I'll continue to go back to the idea of, you're not saying this, but the idea of a meaningless win is false. It is. Shador's playing for something.
Well, but it wouldn't
Kevin
have been...
Stefanski's playing for something.
Yeah.
Or coaching for something, rather.
No, I get it. But I think, again, this is just all what you attribute. If you're going to use the word meaningful, it's what you attribute that to. Is it more meaningful for some Browns fans that you have the driver's seat to do whatever you want in the draft from a quarterback perspective, or really from any part of the draft perspective? Is that more meaningful than what that win was? And for a lot of fans, they just feel like they take the draft scenario.
I think the most interesting thing today that we're going to hear on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel, I already saw it on social media, is how much credit you're willing to give Shador for being a part of that win yesterday. I don't think you have to give him all the credit. I don't think you have to give him half the credit. But if you're one of the folks out there, I think I just need people to be really honest about how they feel about Shador. Because there's a segment of people who will cast me as a Shadorian or a Shapologist. And it's like, guys, and I did want to draft him with a number two pick. Guys, I just thought he was a better quarterback prospect than Dylan Gabriel, which bears fruit every time we watched either one of those guys play.
Right.
And now I'm rooting for him because he's a starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, and he shows promise every single week.
Yeah.
So if you can't give him credit for yesterday, and you're out here calling people Shadorians or whatever goofy nickname you're trying to act like is a slur against people who want this kid to succeed, At some point, I just think you're a hater. Well, I think you're just the person. I really do. Like, I think there's a lot of people very reasonable and want to discuss how they thought Shador played yesterday. But if you're just not going to give the kid any credit, you're telling on yourself.
And we should be talking about the ups and the downs and how, like, for myself, I want him to be more consistent. I think the highs are very high. I think the lows have been low. I want him to be more consistent. But here's what I've discovered, okay, Nick? Like, what I've discovered in this town, in this city, and rightfully so, it's been an absolute conga line of suck when it comes to the quarterback spot for 25 years.
That sounds so much more fun than it actually is.
I know, doesn't it?
Because you imagine the song, maybe somebody's got one of those head things on, you know, yeah, like with the bananas
just,
in it.
It's a bad time, though. It's a conga line of suck.
I imagine the Chiquita Bananas lady just really getting down.
Oh, she's definitely a part of that.
She's leading it.
So here's the thing. I don't think you're smart or clever or creative if your instant or your reaction for 20 years has been, I'll just say bad things about the Browns quarterback until one of them proves me wrong. And until this point, I've never been proven wrong, so I just keep going down this road. Like, I think it actually takes more stones to live in the world that I've been living in, and it seems like you've been living in as well, where it's like, all right, maybe we have something here. Maybe it will defeat all odds, and maybe, just maybe, he can overcome the fact that it's been 25 years of just awful quarterback play. I think that takes so much more than the person that's just wash, rinse, repeat. Well, and they don't have it right. They'll never have it right. And if I can just say it for 25 years, and then once they do get it right, I'll just fall on the sword and say I'm wrong, then that's the end of the convo.
I think maybe this is the way I'm thinking, because I think you and I are lockstep here. I think you have to acknowledge where we started with Shador. Before Shador started, he was dismissed as just a fifth-round pick, as lesser talented than Dillon Gabriel, as a guy who didn't deserve the opportunity. He was only getting it because, well, the Browns had exhausted all the other things. He's only here because Jimmy Haslam wants him here. Think about all the ways people talked about Shador. And in six games, what has he done? He has shown development.
Mm-hmm.
He has not succumbed to the situation around him. I know, because they were highly competitive against Buffalo a week ago, and they beat the Steelers this week. He's made big plays, and yes, it is fair to say that a fair amount of those were negative, but he beat the Steelers late in the season when everyone should be on Cabo standard time.
And when there's like key fourth and seven plays, Kevin Stefanski... Yeah. Almost called him Stevan Kafanski. How about that?
That's his alter ego.
When there's key fourth down plays, you're throwing to Sal Canella. Can we let that sink in for a second? Like, that's what he's dealing with. A bunch of bad offensive linemen at this point. Zach Zinner was in that game for way, way longer than what the broadcast wanted to recognize, by the way. They got to it late in the fourth. He was in that game for a long time, okay? But your bad offensive line, Harold Fannin gets injured, so, like, the one bright spot as far as a pass catcher on this team is out of the game. You're already dealing in backup running back with backup running back scenarios, and he's moving the football. I don't see what the problem is.
All right, and listen, let's be honest. He wasn't great against Pittsburgh. He also, I don't think he was horrible against Pittsburgh either. Because if you say he's horrible, you're discounting the first half. This is what can be frustrating talking football with anyone,
mm-hmm.
is that if you flip those results, Shador looks unplayable in the first half and is dominant in the second half. There are people today, same people crapping on Shador right now, are also saying, that's my quarterback.
Well, yeah, I'd get more credit because they'd be like, oh, the light bulb went on or something like that. I also love the other people that are swarming in and almost discrediting it because, like, now it's been back-to-back weeks where the first drive has looked really good.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden he can only do it on scripted plays when 3-4 weeks ago it was like, oh, he just comes alive late. Where is he? He's snoozing for the first half. Like, make up your minds, people.
I thought he looked fine, and I don't think you win this game without him. Because he made throws, and again, we can get into the negative. The second interception was you cannot do that in the NFL.
The almost pick by Herbig. That would have changed the game drastically.
Absolutely.
Can't make, that's a bad throw.
And by the way, that was a result of being late on a decision because he was indecisive with his other reads. That is something that needs to be coached out. And yet, look at that first drive. Look at a multitude of other drives that he kept alive. When the protection failed him, he stepped up into the pocket and delivered a clean ball, or he bailed a little bit. Like, and honestly, even the sack thing, got sacked twice for -2 yards. So, all right, okay, well, he didn't fall in the packet.
The one was him working back towards the line, too, by the way.
Yeah.
So, like, that was, I mean, that's just as easily not a sack as it is a sack if it extends out his arms, 6 more inches.
I just think when it comes to Shador, we can have a even-handed, fair discussion about what he does, what he doesn't do, what you can coach up, and what you might not be able to. I think those are all fair grounds to have. But when the Shahaters start talking about it, if you've said a positive thing about Shador, it becomes, well, you've made him into Steve Young. No one's done that. I have not heard one person on the station say he's the best quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
I've not heard one person. Everyone, all I've, this is a very consistent theme here. He's shown flashes. I like the toughness. I like the heart. He does seem to have sparked this team. And even though wins and losses aren't the biggest way you're going to go ahead and evaluate somebody, he's got twice as many wins as anybody else does on this for the quarterbacks on this roster this year. So you are seeing things. And I think that there's a false narrative out there that in seven games, Shador was going to look like the whole team was going to come alive. You were going to win five of your last seven games. Guys, that was never going to happen. He and Dylan were put in laughably historically bad scenario.
You sound like you're making excuses for him. As we constantly get accused of making excuses for him anytime we bring this up.
Well, but no, I mean, it's like,
wild to me.
Yesterday was not a good situation to be in.
It's like talk about reality, and it's like the reality is that nobody's supposed to do anything with that offense that is currently around Shador Sanders. Like, it's not go through the people that are on that team, especially against a Steelers team where look at the high paid players on the defensive side of the ball. You're not supposed to look like you can do anything with that. You're not.
But it starts with, well, he can't stay in the pocket. He proves that in six games, that he's rapidly developing. Well, but he doesn't throw a good ball. And then you see him pretty consistently,
which, by the way,
throw a good ball.
Even the Fannin touchdown, I saw people ridiculing that one, and it was like, I don't know, did Tony Romo not speak on that television set? He said it was a perfectly placed ball. It's exactly where, as a quarterback, you want to put that. He put that on the other shoulder, away from the safety, and it looked a little funny, but like Romo said, it was a perfectly placed ball.
And then it becomes, well, he doesn't win. And then he wins, and somehow that's discredited too. At some point, I'm not going to speak to the Shahaters anymore. And listen, if you're a reasonable Browns fan and you're not sold on Shador, I get it. I understand. This, if you bank on him going into 2026, if you name him the starter going forward and build the entire offseason around him, there is risk.
Mm-hmm.
Just the same way there is if you bring in Kirk Cousins' old ass. Just in the same way if you take a quarterback with a first-round pick, there is risk. There is no risk-free option going forward here. The question is, can Shador stabilize this thing, and how good can you get him with better talent and a full offseason? That's all the question has been. But to discredit him in playing how well he played in the first half, how things did not really go well around him in the second half, even though he was not good enough, and a win, I'm sorry. If you're looking for more than you've seen from Shador in the last six games, if that's what you were thinking, then you don't know how the league works. Caleb Williams exited last year with people thinking he was a bust, and they should have. He was bad. Cam Ward has had some nice moments. He's had way more, oh my God, he can't play moments. They're first-round quarterbacks, guys taken with the number one pick, don't often come out of the first year thinking these guys are winners.
And that's where
it shouldn't
where
be
I
different.
Think,
the bar shouldn't be higher for Shador because he's a fifth-round pick.
But that's where I think C.J. Stroud and I think Jaden Daniels hurt the league and the league's assessment of this stuff is because they were so good so instantaneously. And so then everyone, I think, just thinks that's the reality. Actually, I watched the new Elway doc on Netflix over the weekend. Good documentary. It was what it was. But, like, I mean, he was atrocious all his rookie season. And that is the – when you talk about high, like prospects from college to the pros, it is John Elway and Andrew Luck. Those are the two guys that have been as full proof scouting gets. He got benched in his first game. At halftime, he got benched. Then he got benched later on in the season for five games. Like, that's like – rookie quarterbacks take time. Rookie quarterbacks take – there's development that has to happen. And, like, I get we want it so quick with these guys, but look all across the league. Like, you see this constantly where it doesn't look perfect. But the fact that you show flashes and the fact that you show something is something you can hang on to.
Yesterday was a good game for Shador because he played well enough to win. I know because they won and because he was the reason why you were ahead in that game and why Pittsburgh was trying to play catch up and they couldn't. The offense and Shador scoring on that first drive put the defense in a position of power, and then the defense held their own. That's the way this whole thing was set up to win this year. He's won more than I thought he would. His pocket development is actually ahead of where I thought it would be this season, because I didn't think Stefanski would be able to do this. And he's still making big plays for you. That's as much as you could expect. And I'll say it again. He had a good game yesterday. He had a bad half, but he had a good game.
Right.
He played. He put you in a position to win. He did win. And then you won. That simple.
Well, and so I do think there are some takeaways from the game outside of it just being what I thought, again, was a good game. I think it's very obvious at this point. With this team in this situation right now, he's got to find a way to have a complete game. Like, that's got to be, if we're moving this to 2026, and hell, maybe this happens next week, but that has been a theme with him, where we have these quarters and a half, where he just kind of goes away. And so that'd be one thing that I think he's got to work on, I think he's got to get better on. He's got these one or two mental lapses throughout a game that he's got to clean up.
Also, find me a game in which most quarterbacks play four quarters of dominant football.
It's very hard
football.
To find. Very hard to find.
It's the NFL. If we just forgot, do we not watch other quarterbacks in that journey that they take
quarters? You see how football works, too, where it's so obvious where you can have long stretches, because even in that third to fourth quarter drive at the Steelers, that was a 10-minute drive. Like, when you don't have the ball at all, how are you supposed to put up points? Or when you go three and out, and then they have an 8-minute drive, and then you have three and out because your wide receiver doesn't turn up the field and make it a first down, then they go another 6-minute drive. All of a sudden, you've gone a quarter and a half without touching the ball.
216-474-0092. Was this a good game or a bad game for Shador? I distinctly remember, hey, it doesn't matter that Dylan Gabriel was 12 of 18 against Miami and passed up multiple touchdowns. You won, dummy. I distinctly remember that being a conversation. And we got to get to the Stefanski part of Shador's success in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
He wins. Got to win. So that's great for the young man. Gets to beat Pittsburgh. Gets to beat a division rival. So they're not going to be easy. Not in this division. So proud of him for that. There's always things he can clean up. I thought we got a little unlucky in that first interception. We can certainly learn from the second one, and he will. But yeah, he continued to battle.
Kevin Stefanski yesterday after the Browns 13-7 win over the or 13-6 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Assessing Shador's start. Now, you are the supporter of all supporters. Was that a fair? Did you want more from Kevin there? Or did you get what you wanted from him and his analysis?
I'm sorry, I got distracted. I was looking at this video of Mike Tomlin and Shador dapping up after the game, and I was just thinking to myself, what an exciting time that would be if the two of them could link up.
No, thank you.
Well, Mike Tomlin's the coach here, is the point.
No, thank you.
Oh no, you're out on Tomlin everywhere.
Yeah, I want a coach that's a coward.
Oh, get him looking at it with the wrinkled face, with the wrinkled brow. You got to be kidding me!
Knock that over. I want a coach that
can't believe
that fumbles the division.
You can't look at me the way you looked at me after everything you said to me 3 weeks ago.
I'm sorry.
I'd like a
coach
this
that wins.
This is insanity to me.
Jonathan, are you pro mediocrity?
You cannot look at me
it
that way.
It sounds like you would like to sign
you
up for mediocrity.
You can't look at me that way.
I just did.
Oh my goodness! I don't even want to do the show right now.
We kind of have to.
That is an insane. Oh man.
I'm sorry. I thought you wanted the best for Shador.
Yeah. You're right about that, and the idea that Tom was not the best for Shador. There's definitely other things. There's definitely coaches that we can have that are better. I thought it was peculiar, though, that that was a good dap up right there. Was that satisfactory enough, the Stefanski answer? Was that fine enough? Can we play it one more time? Can I hear it one more time? It happened so quickly. I don't know.
And then
if
you
was,
got pissed at me because I said about Mike Tomlin. With the benefit of new information, Jonathan, am I not allowed to say? And by the way, I said,
no, you're
didn't
allowed
I say,
to.
Jack, did I say I was wrong?
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
You did too.
You admitted to it. Yeah. I said I was wrong.
This is just
not,
this is,
not previously.
This is a something. Is
but
all
I was
I'm
wrong
saying.
That Tomlin is, was a good a, coach. I was
this
wrong.
This is a something, is all I'm saying.
I thought this was a show that owned our stuff. I thought that's what we did here.
I like it. I got to get used to it. Is the point? I got to get used to the idea when I bring up Tomlin, I don't get scowled at it and to act as if like, oh my god, anything he does isn't the greatest.
He's a coward
thing,
of a coach.
Isn't the greatest thing I've ever seen. I got to get used to this out of you. This is different territory.
He's let Aaron Rodgers ruin the Steelers.
I've been screaming it for years about Tomlin.
You were wrong then, but now we're right.
Now I'm right. All right. Yeah. Can I hear it one more time from Stefanski? It happened so quickly.
He wins. Got to win. So that's great for the young man. Gets to beat Pittsburgh. Gets to beat a division rival. So they're not going to be easy. Not in this division. So proud of him for that. There's always things he can clean up. I thought we got a little unlucky in that first interception. We can certainly learn from the second one, and he will. But, yeah, he continued to battle.
That was fine. It wasn't anything like that he directly said that was awesome about Jador. As far as platitudes are concerned, that was very basic down the middle, was it not?
I think that's exactly what it was called for yesterday's game, yeah?
Yeah, I have no problem with it, by the way.
And it was fine. I liked it.
For a Stefanski answer, he at least attempted to try to give you something, but he didn't say anything in particular about Jador that I thought was very nice. He just kind of said he battled.
Everyone
knows he battles.
I think he'll learn from that. I like that little spin there. That's a little spin there.
I also like him admitting on the front of it that he didn't think the first interception was Shador's fault.
Yeah, I will say Shador has been the perfect case for this, of people just pointing to interceptions and just context not mattering. Like the second interception, you can't say it strong enough. Cannot ever happen. And they just can't.
The Herbert one would have been 100% on him too.
Yes. The first one, really, I didn't have a whole lot of problems with. And it's weird that, again, that everything gets tribalized when you try and have that conversation, because I'll say this. I want to say about 65% of Shador's interceptions, no, probably closer to 70%. I'm just making up a number. But 70% of his interceptions, I'm completely fine with. They're either situationally they make sense, or he's trying to make a play and somebody didn't come through for him, or it was a freakish play. Like, if you would have told me 6 weeks ago, hey, 6 weeks into this, about 30% of the turnovers are going to be bad turnovers, I would have signed up for that immediately.
Yeah.
In December, when the team was supposed to be on Cabo Standard Time, like, no, the six games has gone as well as I could have expected it to. Which is why I think we kind of got to start giving Stefanski more credit. I think I've done it. I think you kind of got to come around to it as well.
I don't know. Here's why I'm reluctant to give him any credit. One, I still have it in my head about how much I have to punish him for wanting Dylan Gabriel over Shador. I admit this on the front. That bothers me. It will always bother me. And I don't love the idea that someone could walk into a situation working out in their favor when it's not what their initial plan was. That will always bother me.
Does it bug you with Brock Purdy in San Francisco with Shanahan?
Yes.
Because that saved his bacon.
That was not his idea. If in his world, he went for Trey Lance. He bet the world on Trey Lance. He stumbled into Brock Purdy. Like, that's
okay. Consistent.
Yeah, that's all, yes. Although I don't think it would have cost him his job, by the way. I don't, because at that point, he'd still have taken Jimmy Garoppolo to the Super Bowl, and it had been two NFC title game appearances in 3 years leading up to that. He had a little bit more grace than I feel like, definitely more grace than Stefanski, but I felt like he could have made that mistake and still had his job. Regardless, the point is that when it comes to Stefanski, here's how I look at it. At any point right now, do I think to myself, if somebody else came in, could they have done as good of a job as Stefanski? Would they have done as good of a job as Stefanski? And moving forward, if they lost Stefanski, would I be crushed for Shador, or do I feel like we'd pick up right where we left off? That answer remains, I think we'd pick up right where we left off. And that's where I'm hesitant to give him a bunch of credit. I don't feel like there's something that would be missing from Shador if Stefanski isn't there.
So I think it's a great debate. I'd love to be in that building. If, like, Barry's sticking around and it's Barry, Haslam, all the Haslams, really, just the whole team there, half of Tennessee in that room, and a couple of Glenn Cook, Cat Hickman,
Batman Cook,
all the folks, and they're having just a very spirited conversation. Is it best for Shador if we give him continuity in bringing Kevin back for next year, or can we help Shador best by bringing in a new coach? If we had had this conversation on Friday Tuesday was the last day we hosted together, I probably would have just like vehemently said, you know what, honestly, I think just get Shador a new coach. Find somebody who's going to build the offense perfectly for him. But in looking at his pocket development, I know the quarterback coach, both his personal coach and Bill Musgrave, mm-hmm. they deserve a hand in this. Tommy Rees. Guys, yep. Kevin's spearheading this. Kevin is, and what I've seen from Shador in terms of how he's his pocket feel and stepping up, man, there were so many big boy throws, like put him on the table throws where he's climbing up in the pocket and doing things that Kevin wants him to do. That's a sign that Kevin's invested in him. That's a sign that Kevin is taking coaching Shador seriously instead of just doing what I felt he did until about 6 weeks ago, which is not my guy, not my problem, you fix it.
Well,
right?
And we've got worried last week that he went too far in that regard.
Yeah, no, and by the way,
I don't want one game to just completely wipe that away.
And I think it's going to be a balancing act if Kevin's the guy going forward. But some of the pocket stuff, like yesterday I'm watching and I'm like, I think that's Kevin there. I think that's exactly what Kevin wants, and it's what I think Kevin... coordinators of Kevin's ilk will want in this scenario. Kevin is proving to the rest of the NFL that Shador can do what people have said he can't do. I got to give you, if I was willing to give you, like, 2 weeks ago, I think when you and I first got into this, I was willing to give Kevin, like, 5% of this.
And that was my number. My number was 5.
I think I'm to, like, 15 or 20%. I'm really, like, Shador gets a lion's share of the credit. Really well done by Kevin Stefanski, even if it doesn't change my bigger picture thought on
it. I was going to, again, like 15 to 20%, though, doesn't move you off anything big picture. Wouldn't move, if you're making
it. In 2 weeks?
For me, it wouldn't move off anything.
No. And I think, like, listen, I think where it matters is, what does this mean to the Browns? Because you and I have already set our opinion. And once you fire somebody, it's really hard. It's not impossible, but it gets really hard to come off that within the season.
Baker was a big thing that they obviously all have to be looking at because that's a lot of their experiences, right? And they were there when they saw Baker go through what turned out to be a million different coordinators and coaches all in a short amount of time. And the damage that can do... I just got to be truthful and call it how I see it, though, guys. You guys know I think the world is Shador, but I don't think they look at Shador and say, this is going to dictate anything in regards to our head coaching hiring or anything that we do. Because I think they look at Shador right now as, if he's the 2026 guy, then he's the 2026 guy. But I don't know that they look at him as the end-all, be-all, the way that I think we all hope that he would be.
Oh, I think at the end of this, if you're still on the fence with Kevin, I think number one, with a bullet, in the thing that you're talking about to decide whether you move on together is, what do you think we should do at quarterback, and how do you feel about Shador? Because I've seen enough of Shador that if Kevin goes, you know, I still don't want to, you know, I'd rather give this back to Dylan. All right, Kevin, thank you for your service. Let's shake some hands here. Go take the Giants job.
That would be really, really not reading the room if that was the case.
Well, no, I think Shador's a huge part of this
Stefanski
conversation.
I think Stefanski would say he likes Shador and he wants to be with Shador because right now that would keep him in his job. Like, I think that the idea
I don't think Kevin would lie to save his job. I think Kevin is an honest guy. I think if Kevin sees something in Shador – behind closed doors, I don't think he's afraid to say it.
I think a lot of people would be afraid to say it in that moment. I think you want to keep your job and then you hope for the best moving forward. I don't think
Kevin is that afraid of his job. I think all those reports that say Kevin would have a job and be a prime candidate elsewhere, I think Kevin's aware
of
that.
I mean, but now we're reading into Kevin's thoughts that we just cannot possibly know. Like, I think people as a whole and people in general would do more so. And maybe Kevin's different than this. I don't know. You tell me. But like, I think people as a whole, people would say, all right, I'll tell them whatever they want to hear. I want to keep this job. I want to keep this thing going.
I think bad coaches do that. I think like Hugh Jackson did that. I think coaches who fail because of themselves
but
do that.
Still, it might not even be fraudulent. Maybe at this point, after the past couple of weeks, maybe Stefanski is starting to buy something into Shadori as well. Like there might be something to that.
Are you ready for that?
It was never about convincing Stefanski.
No. I mean, like for you, like if Kevin comes out at the end of the season, Kevin keeps it. Let's play out one of the strands that could happen here.
Okay.
Kevin keeps his job and Kevin comes out and goes, this kid won me over. He's a heck of a prospect. Can't wait to see what we do in 2026.
Yeah. Am I thrilled about it? No, I don't think Stefanski can do this. That's the problem.
What I mean is like that would be more buy-in than he's ever gotten before. And that to me, that would prove Shador has earned his trust. I think that's huge.
Well, by the way, that's going to have to be the story that is all throughout, not only the offseason, but leading up to training camp, if they do come back with Stefanski. That's got to be the message. He's got to be the guy that says, I believe in Shador unequivocally, and on and on and on it goes. Like that, it can't be anything short of that.
Yeah, but it also has to be true. And I think that's...
He lies all the time to us. What are you talking about?
Well, no. There's a difference between lying to fans in the public and lying internally.
But you said at the podium. Mean behind closed doors.
Well, yeah.
But again, behind closed doors, then don't keep them.
Like behind, now I'm getting confused. I think we're...
All right, can we reset? Confused. We need to reset. Okay.
Right here. Trust you with the nest.
Reset. Go ahead.
Mike Tomlin. Sorry. That was mean. That was dirty pool.
You're going to make me throw things again. Nice drop, Jax.
Kevin has to say publicly what we're talking about. He also has to say it privately. It has to be true. I do think this is weirdly, this has become a pivotal point in whether these guys are going to have success either together or individually. And I think if Kevin, I know there's you want to keep your job. Understood. Nobody wants to lose their job. You don't have to move the kids. I get all that, the human part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin also understands he's not been given the quarterback he wants at any point. That's the messaging that's out there. So you have to make an honest call. If Barry and Haslam want to keep Shador, you have to ask yourself, do you believe it? And I think with how Shador's been coached up, I think I'm seeing evidence. Like, I don't think you see the development if Shador doesn't buy into Kevin, and if Kevin doesn't buy into Shador.
Well, no, but now if we're reading into Kevin, I think he is the type of person that would do his very best with the job that's given. He seems like that type of guy. Like, so even if he didn't believe in Shador, he would still put in the hours and the work attached to trying to give Shador the best opportunity and give him the chance to have success, because at the end of the day, he's a coach. He wants the best for people, even if he doesn't believe in him at the end of the day.
216-474-0092. Is it time to give Kevin Stefanski credit for Shador? Want to hear from you guys on this at Nick Wilson Says, at Jay Peterlin on social media as well. And we're going to do better than giving Shador credit. Coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Nathan Zagura coming up in about 15 minutes here. Nick and JP back with you on a victory. We're going to ask Nathan in 15 minutes in the fourth quarter, be honest. Were you rooting for a win or were you rooting for draft position? Because I don't know what he's going to say.
Yeah, you think that one's wonderment what he's going to say?
I want to know. I know, listen, the 92.3 The Fan YouTube chat, we have had this up now. We've got 450 votes, 91% of people.
Drop those corn emojis.
Drop that corn, y'all, on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel. But 91% saying they're rooting for a Browns win.
I believe it.
Is it just that all the real fans are on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel and then people on social media, like Twitter? Are people on Twitter fronting?
Well, I do think it changes it when you say in the fourth quarter. I think that does change the percentages a little bit.
Do you know?
Because then it's there. You have the lead. Everyone knew you had the lead. It's not some pipe dream then at that point. You know, if we had this conversation on Friday, let's say, then I feel like a lot of people had looked at it as like, oh, you're going to be... You're going to be beating this big, bad Steelers team as if there's some, like, 85 Bears-type squad. But you'd be like, you're going to beat this team? And then you almost protect your feelings by saying something to the otherwise.
You know, we have a member of the show that was rooting for them to lose.
Oh, yeah? Who was that? Was that Mac?
That's Mac. Yeah.
He's a draft pick guy?
A draft pick guy.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that are. Like, this is not... that's why the part of this that I find so interesting is that I don't think you're a bad fan if you wanted them to lose for the draft choice. I don't think you're some sort of superior fan if you wanted them to win. I just think everyone enjoys, they enjoy their fandom in different levels and different ways. And I think that's a beautiful thing about sports, that it can, for some people, they prioritize what it means in April. And for other people, they prioritize what it meant for them in the moment and what that carryover could eventually be. It's just different ways to look at it.
I think rooting for your team to lose, especially in a divisional matchup, to me seems like a wannabe radio host move and not like a real fan.
Well, I mean, a wannabe radio host move. That was mean to Mac.
Well, no. I didn't mean specifically to Mac.
I mean, that was but like, mean is all that was.
To me, it's pseudo-intellectualism. It is, I'm embracing analytics, and analytics should say this. Or I'm embrace, like, no. If you're a fan, I just think it makes sense to root for your team to win. And things...
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
However it's going to... like, because here's the thing. Oh, I can give you 10 examples on how if you win, it's good for you. And I can give you 10 examples how if you lose,
right,
it's good for you. Like this idea of... and what I think is so frustrating about social media is we can't just be like, you can go either way. And neither way could work out as well, by the way.
Okay, but I agree with that, but that's not really the premise that you're offering up either, because you're taking this as if you want the draft picks, you're somehow wrong. But if you laid out what you just said 30 seconds ago, I think the reality sits there more than it sits anywhere, which is
I think there's a difference between football theory and fandom.
No, but I can make a good argument for why, even with your fandom, you could want them to have lost while also making a good argument for why you would have wanted them to win. Like, I think if you lay it out as simple as it's better for the team long term that they lost that game, it's easier to get a better draft pick, and obviously then you can have a better player at number two than number six, and you could take a quarterback, people would look at that and be like, okay, pretty reasonable. Also, if I said something to the effect of, But no, winning matters because all they do is lose, and the culture is absolute crap, and it stinks, and it has for a million years. And part of that is because they're just accepting of these losses. That's why winning these games, especially a divisional game, matters. I think most people look at that and say, okay, that's also fair too.
One of those is rooted in emotionalism, the here and the now, and one of them's rooted in high-minded, you're removing emotion from the equation, which I just don't, I think that's antithetical to being a fan. I think emotion is at the core aspect of fandom, and when football analysts look down on that, I'm not saying you're doing that, but when football right. analysts look down on that, I think what an a-hole. I do. Like when people act like fans are stupid for wanting their team to win, I think that is cynical. I think that is overly high-minded, and I think it's fake.
Some parts of being a fan is the idea that you sit there and you do all these mock drafts and you go through the draft boards and you have all sorts of fun with that. And for some fans, yeah, but for some fans,
you should do that after the season's over and there's nothing to pay attention to.
Even this, within looking at the different matchups and where exactly where you fall if you win or lose the game, all this stuff. I think it's all one part of being a fan.
But doesn't that lead to misery?
Not necessarily.
Like if you're miserable with the outcome of yesterday, I just wonder what that brings to your life.
Well, I think if they would have lost that game and then you'd have the number two overall pick and then you got Dante Moore, let's say, because he's the second best quarterback in that class. I think it's a prolonged understanding of I won't be miserable forever. I'm going to have a new exciting quarterback to go after.
Okay, but then we'll follow down that rabbit hole. When you go down that rabbit hole and that quarterback ends up being Marcus Mariota and not C.J. Stroud.
But sometimes it ends up being C.J. Stroud.
More often than not.
Sometimes it ends up being
not like
Jaden
Daniels. If we get into like what a hit is, like, okay, if you go to how often do you draft a quarterback in the first round and they become a franchise we're talking top 10, top five quarterbacks.
We only have top five quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yes, but they don't change. It's been Joe Burrow, Lamar, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and I'm probably missing one, but it's been the same five guys. And that doesn't mean it can't change, but Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson and Trey Lance, those are more the case of what happens drafting.
And they all come from the same spot, though.
Or
and that's,
Kyler,
and you're in
or
that spot.
Daniel Jones, or Tua, guys who start for half a decade, you go nowhere.
This can obviously flame out. That's a big part of this.
But that's more likely. That's what's not acknowledged.
Yes, it's also more likely every year to not win the Super Bowl. There's 31 teams every year that don't win the Super Bowl. Like being a sports fan is against the odds to begin with anyway. You're signing up to be miserable way more years than you're signing up to be satisfied and be happy. That is part of it, but that gamble that's attached to, and it's very scratch off lottery ticket mindset, but the idea of, hey, I can be a crappy organization with a miserable owner, but Joe Burrow 2 years from now can have me in the Super Bowl if I take him and it hits, exists for fans. That's exciting for some fans, just as exciting as winning a week 17 game against the Steelers is.
But I think the problem is it's not addressed in the scratch off lottery ticket scenario that you're pointing. It's addressed like a sure thing. It's addressed like it's your best way to do this. It's not. There's a million. Dak Prescott was a fourth round pick. Tom Brady was a sixth round pick.
Brock Purdy was a seventh round pick. I don't see it personally addressed that way. I think most fans understand if you take a quarterback, it is as much of a blind luck thing scenario as exists. Because
yesterday, people were acting like Fernando Mendoza. Missing on Fernando Mendoza was missing on Mahomes.
This is why I'll never give a radio host or anyone flack for being like, I think a quarterback's great if they end up not being great, because these guys can't get it right. Scouts can't get it right. General managers can't get it right.
Well, I don't think most fans are saying this wrong.
Well, I guess maybe I live with the understanding that most are, and most are playing with that idea that you are taking a crapshoot and you are taking a guess. I think how they look at it is the idea that what gives me the best percentage chance? Is it taking that quarterback that's the second best quarterback at number two, or is it taking a quarterback at 25 that's the third best quarterback or the fourth best? And they would argue the one at number two. And so all you're doing is playing and giving yourself the best percentage chance. That's really all it comes down to.
I think it's become a generalization. And within the generalization, I don't think there's enough assessment that the risk that you're taking is not infallible. You are taking a risk. And by the way, let's paint it to this situation. If Shador fails next year, cool. You're looking for a top three pick next year, and you're going to be going for a quarterback. If you get Fernando Mendoza, you could spend 6 years, where the Miami Dolphins have been for the last 6 years, trying to find out if that guy can play, going through multiple head coaches, and having no playoff wins to show from it. That's the more likely scenario than you lucked into Joe Burrow.
for sure it could happen. It could also happen the way where you end up with Baker, where you had one playoff win in the 4 years, and it just is, that's your lot. And but at least you stepped up to the table and you took a swing.
Yeah, but again, taking a swing, like
doing nothing and not drafting a quarterback.
Keeping Shedeur is doing
different.
Nothing.
No, this is different because of Shedeur.
I got
this is a completely different scenario because of Shedeur. But in most years, doing nothing is guaranteed to not change your chances of turning it into Joe Burrow.
Well, but I think, again, specific to the Browns, there are not enough people realizing you can stabilize this thing with Shedeur and truly see where you are. Not risk-free, but acting like missing out. Guys, Fernando Mendoza is Jared Goff. That's a really nice NFL quarterback. I'd like to have Jared Goff as my quarterback, even coming off this last week. I'm not throwing away weeks of my life and years of my life to do it. Dante Moore, hit or miss. Is he Mahomes? I actually think he could be. I think he has top five talent. I think the problem is, I'd say he's probably more likely with that lack of experience to probably be a bust. Is that worth it? No. There's not a hate generational. I don't think there's somebody worth the fight that we've seen over the last 24 hours on yesterday's loss.
And listen, that's why there's people like myself that are like, all right, I had no problem with what happened yesterday, because when it comes to generational, Andrew Luck, Joe Burrow, all those guys, I have no problem losing, and it is what it is. But if there's not a generational guy in there, then there's not a generational guy in there. But I think if this would have been a year where there was one of those guys in there, was a Joe Burrow, wasn't Andrew Luck, I think the firestorm, it would have been child's play what we went through today and what we've gone through in 24 hours.
I still would have rooted for a win. At some point, you just got to enjoy every win. I'm not. None of us are guaranteed to be here next September and just on the planet. I'm betting on it.
I'm not betting on anything. I have to bet on that. Yes,
no,
I have to.
I'm betting on the here and the now.
I can't live my life that 36 is the last year, and I can't. I'm going to be like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it to 37.
You should make every day count, Jonathan.
No, I can't. I can't live that way. I have to. The percentages. Back to the percentages. They tell me I'll be here when I'm 37 years old next year. I can't. You can't live that way. You can't live as if I must cherish every win because I don't know if it's going to be my last. You're 40. You're not 70.
By the way, no, this is a general rule for everyone. You should live as if there is no tomorrow, within reason.
No, that's within reason. Thank you.
I saved it.
Thank you, because I'm like, no, like I plan for my retirement fund for a reason.
That'd be funny, though.
Because I bet on it being there.
See, I haven't.
If you don't.
That's why I'm going to live to be 100
you're gonna be working.
And working at Walmart till I'm 100, yeah. And you'll be dead tomorrow.
That would be a real son of a bee, wouldn't it?
I would be very upset.
More so than me just being dead, because that's not great, but the idea that, like, You plan for all this, and then none of it.
Yeah, the worst of it is?
No, it's fine, actually. It would all go to Elise. That's what I want.
Yeah, but then she's going to get remarried, and then some other guy's going to be able to enjoy your retirement.
They'll enjoy it together, okay? Now, what would really make me mad is if then Elise passed, and then he had all the money, and then he dropped it down to his kids instead of my kids, and then I was like, oh, no.
Might have happened with a family member.
I didn't get the trust right. I didn't do this because I'm 36, not expecting to die tomorrow.
Yeah. Should have planned ahead.
Hanging on to Browns' 4-win seasons.
Nathan Zagura, Browns analyst, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well,
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.